I believe it was sometime in the early months of 1993, if not a few months before that, I received a letter in the mail. Young people, we used to have this thing called letters. The old days. I received a letter in the mail from a man I'd never heard of before, about a place I'd never heard of before. A man named Dr. Bob Buswell had written me a letter talking about a place called Camp Syker. They'd had a cancellation of speakers, and he was writing to inquire if I could come and fill in that year, that summer. He didn't realize I was 10 years old at the time when he wrote that letter. Trina and I came onto the grounds of Camp Syker that first time in August of 1993. Things were different back then. I've been thinking today about some of the things that were different then from now. We used to have a 2:30 service every day in those days. 2:30 service every day. Hot, tired. In those days, we used to wear suits and ties for every service. I remember two tall, lanky, twin teenage boys in the program, in the youth program in those days. One of them now became the camp vice president. And Dave Kohlheiser had hair. This is not kidding. It's true. 30 years later, Trina and I in those days could have never imagined today what God would do in our families' lives in this place over these years through you and through the love and the spirit of Jesus here at Camp Syker. We owe you a debt of gratitude. Also, little could we have imagined in 1993 that God would give us two children, a daughter, wonderful son. He would meet a girl here at Camp Syker. He would propose to her here on the grounds of Camp Syker. And I'm blessed tonight to be able to say in all the services I've ever preached over the years, this is the first time I've been able to say I have my son and my daughter-in-law in the service tonight here, and I just want to say thank you for coming. And thank you for coming. I invite you to Colossians chapter 1. We've been looking at this magnificent passage in verse chapter 1. Magnificent passage about Jesus, just all about Jesus. I want to be all about Jesus in our lives. More and more and more. I'd like to look just at one verse tonight, verse 19, in this wonderful passage, Colossians 1:19. Paul writes, "For it pleased the Father that in him, in Jesus, all the fullness should dwell." It pleased the Father that in Jesus, in him, all the fullness should dwell. There are some subjects that would warrant a lifetime of thought and discussion. I made the mistake one time in a Sunday school class not long ago as I was teaching there in Nashville to ask the question, which is better, Miracle Whip or real mayonnaise? I thought I'd never get the class back. We could have gone on for hours. We could have gone on for a lifetime. But on a more serious note, Paul brings up a subject, more than a subject, a reality that is worth a lifetime and beyond of discussion, of thought, and it is this triune God in whom we know and believe according to the Scriptures. A triune God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, lifetime, lifetime. We've spent the last 20 centuries discussing the reality, trying to understand the reality of three distinct persons all in one, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And an even further step of the mystery is the amazing truth of what Paul describes in verse 19, that it pleased the Father, it pleased God that in Jesus, in the one member, in the Son Jesus, you would know all the fullness of God has been revealed and known in the person of Jesus. And the phrase is so, in the original language, the phrase is so emphatic, there's no room at all for ambiguity. There's no wishy-washiness about that. The language is so, so clear. In him, in Jesus, no mistake about that. The fullness, all the fullness. And God was pleased for that to take place. Literally, the word in Greek means to, it was God's good thought. He literally thought good of that. So this thing of all the fullness dwelling in Jesus, this is, God has no reservation about that. Father, Son, Holy Spirit have no question. This isn't back and forth. This didn't pass by a 2-to-1 vote. This was unanimous. This is God's good idea that all the fullness of the Godhead would dwell in Jesus. In fact, that idea is so important that Paul repeats it. Watch out for repetition in the word. Paul repeats it in chapter 2, verse 9, where he says, in him, in Jesus, dwells all the fullness of the Godhead bodily, in bodily form. As you know, John talked about this in his gospel a fair bit, where he would say things like in the prologue, you remember John's prologue, chapter 1, verse 18, where he says, no one has seen God at any time, but the only begotten Son who is in the bosom of the Father, he has declared him. Jesus has declared the Father. You want to know the Father? Look at Jesus. Remember that final evening when Jesus had gathered the disciples in close, the night he's betrayed, the night before he's crucified, gathers them close in an upper room. John chapters 13 through 17 are that beautiful discussion and prayer, that discussion. And remember that he said, if you had known me, John 14:7, if you had known me, you would have known my Father also. And from now on, you know him and you have seen him. Philip said to him, Lord, show us the Father, and it is sufficient for us. But Jesus said to him, have I been with you so long, and yet you have not known me, Philip? He who has seen me has seen the Father. So how can you say, show us the Father? It's why Paul is so emphatic in Colossians 1 on this Christology. It's why he's so emphatic and so unreserved on spending all of this time just lifting up Jesus in this magnificent passage that we've been looking at throughout the week. He is the image of the invisible God, he says in verse 15. He is the firstborn over all creation. Verse 16, for by him all things were created in heaven and on earth. All things were created through him and for him. He is before all things, and in him all things consist. This magnificent lifting up of Jesus. And then verse 19, it's almost like he gives the explanation for that. Because you'll notice in verse 19, it begins with the word for. In other words, I'm going to explain the reason for everything I've said, for it pleased the Father that in Jesus all the fullness should dwell. No wonder we talk about Jesus so much, because God himself has decided that all the fullness would be known through Jesus. No wonder Paul's so unreserved about that. No wonder Paul preaches Christ. No wonder the early church was so emphatic on that. No wonder you wouldn't catch anybody in the early church. They preached Jesus everywhere they went. You read through Acts, and it's quite amazing to read how they just preached Jesus. They went there, they preached Jesus. By the way, you know what they got in trouble for? Preaching Jesus. And you know what they went back out and did? Preach Jesus. It's just like you couldn't stop them. No matter where they went, they were always preaching Jesus. Preach Jesus. Because the early church was convinced that all the fullness of the Godhead dwells in Jesus Christ. You want to know the fullness of God? Know Jesus. Preach Jesus. It's the great need of our day, I believe, don't you? I believe the need of our day is to preach Jesus. I believe the need of our society is to preach Jesus. I believe the need of human sexuality is to preach Jesus. I believe the need of relationships is to preach Jesus. The need of our schools, preach Jesus. The need of our churches, preach Jesus. For all the fullness of the Godhead dwells in him. What a thought tonight that God has reached to us. Isn't it amazing? God reached down to us, approached us, and has offered us tonight all of his fullness. All the fullness of the Godhead in Jesus. Know Jesus, preach Jesus, offer the world tonight Jesus. Now, if you look around Scripture, you find that God is really, really into this idea of fullness or being filled. You'll note. All over the place. God's never into half measures. You know, God's not stingy. God doesn't sit on his heavenly throne saying, I'll think about it. Maybe I'll hold a little back. You know, tonight that we have a generous, amen, we have a generous God. We have a God who's abundant. We have a God who pours out. We have a God who loves to give good gifts to his children. We have a God all over Scripture where he's always into this abundance and fullness kind of a thing. You remember Psalm, the 23rd Psalm? He prepares a table before me in the presence of my enemies. He anoints my head with oil. My cup runneth over. Remember what Jesus said in John 10:10? I have come that they may have life and have it mediocre. I have come that they may have life on an average basis. I have come that they may have life and have it more abundantly. You start to read through Paul's prayers in these epistles, especially these prison epistles, and he's just overwhelming in his expression about the fullness that God wants to give. God's into fullness, fullness. He prays in Romans 15:13, I pray that the God of hope may fill you with all joy and peace as you believe in him, that you may overflow with hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. He's into fullness, overflow. I love what the ladies referred to in the Ephesians prayer in Ephesians chapter 3, back up to verse 19, where he says, I pray that you will know the love of Christ which passes knowledge. Listen to this, that you may be filled with all the fullness of God. Now to him who is able to do exceedingly abundantly above everything we ask or think according to the power that works. See what I mean? He's constantly into this fullness. So he writes in Philippians 1:11, that you may be filled with the fruits of righteousness. So then he prays in Colossians, where we're at, chapter 1, verse 9. He says, for this reason, we do not cease to pray for you, that and ask that you may be filled with the knowledge of his will and all. It's all over the place in Scripture. All I can hear in my voice is the guy on the Flex Seal commercial saying, that's a lot of fullness. Never mind. That's a lot of fullness. It is. God's into this fullness all over the place, which points to and indicates his design for us. The idea that God wants to fill us and he's into fullness connotes our design that he has for us. See, when you talk about something being full, you automatically assume that the thing that you're filling is a container or a vessel of some kind. There's no sense in talking about fullness without understanding that the thing you're talking about is a container made to contain something. Make sense? Oh, my gas tank is full. Oh, you mean a gas tank is a thing that's made to contain gasoline? Yeah. Right. Fullness, container. So the idea is that we realize that God's design for us tonight, the design for humanity, is that we would be these vessels. You understand tonight we were made to be vessels. We were made to be these containers for him, if you will, if I may borrow a term. We were made to be inhabited by him, and we were made to be, if you will, these dispensers of Jesus. Right? That's our design. If God's into fullness, then that means we were made to be the dispensers of his fullness in our world. Dispensers. And again, that's all over the place in Scripture. You don't have to look far in Scripture to realize this idea of how he is indwelling us, this indwelling. You look at Romans chapter 8, verses 9 through 11. Paul says, you are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if indeed the Spirit of God dwells in you. Now, if anyone does not have the Spirit of Christ, he is not his. This is Romans 8, verse 10. If Christ is in you, the body is dead because of sin, but the Spirit is life because of righteousness. But if the spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, he who raised Christ from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies through his spirit who dwells in you. You think he's trying to make a point in all that? You remember the whole John 15 thing, vine and branches. What does Jesus say? Hey, simple. Abide in me and I in you. It's why Paul comes down to the end of this Colossians 1 passage and he just thunders this marvelous truth at the end. The whole mystery that God wants to make known is what? Christ in you, the hope of glory. So he says, him we preach. No wonder that in verse 28, Colossians 1. And then he says in verse 29, to this end I labor, striving according to his working, which works, guess where? In me mightily. We're made to be these vessels. Now, what that communicates to us, the picture you get is that it's not really about the vessel as much as it's about him working through the vessel. You understand tonight? The Christian life is not focused on the vessel. The Christian life is focused on what's in the vessel, which is him working through the vessel. You may remember that Paul communicates this in 2 Corinthians 4:7, where he says, we have this treasure, this is Jesus, his presence, we have this treasure where? In earthen vessels, that the excellence of the power may be of God and not of us. What's he saying? It's not about the vessel, it's about the treasure. You know what's really good news about you? You ought to be so, now calm down. You know what you should be so excited with that about tonight? It's not about the talent or ability of the vessel. Let me say that again. It's not about the talent, intelligence, or ability of the vessel. It's about him working through a vessel that's available. It's not about the ability, it's about the availability. Come on. You can't read your Bible without recognizing that. Look at the Old Testament. Show me the application process for the heroes of faith. Show me the application process. Show me the tryouts to be a disciple of Jesus. There's nowhere in Scripture where God looks around the room, he looks across the landscape of personalities, and he says, hey, you're talented, you're good looking, we need somebody with your abilities, hey, we need somebody with your intelligence, we need somebody with your charisma, we'll pick you. Never does that. He always works through the person you would least expect, right? Look throughout the Old Testament. All these unsuspecting people, New Testament, are you kidding me? Disciples, I mean, you ever look at these guys? Disciples, untrained, uneducated men, walking around scratching themselves. I mean, these guys don't know, they don't know what in the world they're doing. And yet, it's not about the vessel, it's about the treasure working through the vessel, right? It's not about the ability, it's about the availability. Now, this whole vessel idea really got working on me with this verse, that in Jesus dwells all the fullness of God. Because as Jesus, you understand tonight in our theology, we all believe tonight that Jesus is fully God. Yes, amen? Jesus is fully God who also became fully human. You believe that tonight? He's not part human, kind of human, 90% human. He is 100% God. I don't understand this above my pay grade, but 100% God, 100% human. You with me tonight? So as Jesus became fully human, the second Adam, as we've heard this week in Bible study, the second Adam, is it not true that as the second Adam, Jesus demonstrates what it is to be a vessel filled with and dispensing God? Didn't rely on his abilities, but constantly relied on the Father who was doing all things through him. That's what he says. In the John 14 passage we mentioned earlier, if you read on, listen to what Jesus, this is Jesus' words in John 14, 10. Do you not believe that I am in the Father and the Father is, guess where, in me? See the vessel language? The words that I speak to you, I do not speak on my own authority, but guess what? The Father who dwells in me does the works. Father who dwells in him. Peter echoes that same kind of message in his Pentecost sermon where Peter says in Acts 2:22, men of Israel, hear these words. Jesus of Nazareth, a man attested to you by God to you by miracles, wonders, and signs, which God did through him. All the fullness dwelling in Jesus. In fact, that word dwell is the Greek word which literally kind of talks about house. It's the verb form of house. God has made his house. Jesus is the home, the house for the presence of God, the Father, to literally work through him. All the fullness of God in and through Jesus. Fully God, yes, but fully human, demonstrating what we were made to be. You understand that's his design for us then tonight. You and I, Jesus the second Adam, firstborn among many brethren, in his image as human beings, we were made to be his vessels, his dispensers of himself in our world. Isn't that what this holiness thing is all about? Aren't you glad tonight holiness is not a list of rules? Not a list of rules to follow. Not to say we don't have guidelines, not to say we don't have, you know, guidelines, but we're talking about, it's not this list of rules to follow, it's the idea that I am your dispenser to dispense who you are into this world. And again, it's worth saying, it's worth repeating tonight. It's not about my ability, it's not about my skills. I'm a container, I'm a vessel. Now again, each of us tonight, you understand, each of us is made special. We believe tonight, do you guys believe Larry the cucumber? Believe Larry? God made you special. And he loves you very much. You believe that tonight? We are each fearfully and wonderfully made. We are each uniquely designed with great care by God. Amen? But tonight it's not about my ability as a vessel. It's not about my personality as a vessel. It's not about my skills as a vessel. It's about the treasure within the vessel. He wants to work in and through me as the Father works in and through Jesus. Did you ever notice in the book of Acts how when they want to select somebody, they don't have tryouts, they don't have talent search, they've got this important need in the church, they say, oh man, we really need 7 guys who are going to take on this task in Acts chapter 6. We need 7 guys. Who are we going to find? Who are we going to find? Let's go on Indeed.com. Let's do the talent search. Let's find the guys who can pull this off. You know what they look for? They say, find 7 men who are what? Full of the Spirit. That's what they're looking for. You understand the need of our day is Jesus dispensers in our world. You understand the need of my family is to see a Jesus dispenser. You with me tonight? The need of our day is men and women, human beings, who will walk around in our world and be the dispensers, the light. It's not about the talent. Aren't you relieved at this tonight? I don't have any talents. It's okay. Well, I'm not that smart. And this is not diminishing education, training, all that kind of stuff. But I don't lean on my abilities. I don't lean on my training. I don't lean on my education. It's all about this, not ability, but availability. That's the great need of our day. Men and women who are available to be the dispenser of Jesus to our world. Got this granddaughter now, you know, granddaughter. You know who I want teaching my granddaughter in nursery and children's church? I want a Jesus dispenser teaching my granddaughter. I want somebody so full of Jesus that they're just going to get Jesus all over her. That's what I want for my granddaughter. You know what I want for my family? You know what I want out of a pastor? Jesus dispenser. You know what I want out of a school teacher? Jesus dispenser. Youth leader? Jesus dispenser. You know what our world needs? Jesus dispenser. You know what we need down at your school? Jesus dispenser. In your church? Jesus dispenser. Wherever you go, the world is in need of a Jesus dispenser. You available tonight? This is the vital importance of being filled with him. All the fullness of God in Jesus, Christ in me, all the fullness of God in and through me. It's why Paul says in Ephesians 5:18 that well-known verse, well-quoted verse. He says, be filled with the Holy Spirit. The Greek language communicates that that is an ongoing. Some translators say, be being filled with the Holy Spirit at all times. Makes sense. A vessel has to have something in it. A container, a dispenser has to have something in it to be of use. Empty container, empty dispenser, not much use. A container needs to be filled with something to be of use. The great need that the New Testament describes is that we would be filled with Him, filled with the Spirit of Jesus, which is back again, all the fullness of God in Jesus, Christ in us, the fullness of God in and through our lives. You realize tonight that every person you will ever meet in your entire life just needs Jesus. You know, tonight, every person that you'll come across the rest of this night, tomorrow, wherever you go this week, every person in Walmart, every person in your family, every person in your school, every person at work, every person in your neighborhood, every person in the airport, every person in line at Walmart needs Jesus. The great need of our day, Jesus. So if I am not a dispenser of Him, if I'm not a vessel for Him to share Himself with those around me, whoever I come in contact with, what do I have to give them? What do I have to give people? Let me impart to you my wisdom. Let me impart to you my great ideas. Let me impart to you my great abilities. We need Him. We need Him. He is the great need of my life. So am I tonight? Here's the question. Am I tonight willing? Not my ability. We're not asking for people tonight that are able. Come and have tryouts. Apply first. List your resume. The New Testament, the Christianity, Jesus invites people who are simply available to be a Jesus dispenser at all times. Can you imagine being a Jesus dispenser wherever I am, no matter what? Can you imagine? You're a Jesus dispenser wherever you... Can you imagine that all the time? Imagine just no matter the situation, Jesus dispenser. Everywhere. Not just on a platform in a camp meeting service, not just on the platform at your church. Cleaning bathrooms, Jesus dispenser. At school, Jesus dispenser. Mowing the grass, Jesus dispenser. Babysitting, Jesus dispenser. Walking through, Jesus dispenser. Walmart, Jesus dispenser. Everywhere, all. Do you understand? Wherever you are at all times, Jesus dispenser. Anybody willing tonight? But before you sign up, there's a cost. Beware of the cost. Got to hurry. In Colossians 1, Paul highlights the cost it was for Jesus to be the vessel of life to our world. His blood, His cross, His redemption cost Him in His body the redemption. Through the blood of His cross. You don't have to read far in Paul's epistles or in the book of Acts to see all the cost that it was for Paul to be a Jesus dispenser everywhere he went. Preaching, relationships, travel, everywhere he went, tents in the marketplace, didn't matter. He's just this Jesus dispenser. Not ability, he would tell you this himself. Not ability, not his intelligence. Again, doesn't dismiss all of those things. Don't get educated. No. But it's not my ability, it's my availability to Him constantly, wherever I am. Jesus, here I am, available, just move through me, dispense your life. But again, just one more time, if I may, just as I close, that Colossians 4 passage is an incredible description of the cost. I got to hurry on this. Let me read the rest of that. We have this treasure in earthen vessels, excellence of the power of God, not of us. But listen to what he says. We are hard-pressed on every side. Want to be a dispenser? Hard-pressed on every side, not crushed. We are perplexed. not in despair. We are persecuted, but not forsaken. We are struck down, but not destroyed. We are always carrying about in the body the dying of the Lord Jesus, that the life of Jesus also may be manifested in our mortal flesh. For we who live are always delivered to death for Jesus' sake, that the life of Jesus also may be manifested in our mortal flesh. So then, death is working in us, but life in you. It's a constant dying. This dispenser thing is a constant dying, a constant outflow to others, a constantly being emptied, which requires this constant sourcing flow, being filled with Him so that there can be this constant outflow, dying to self, surrender, giving, emptying. Requires this constant filling from Him so it can be a constant outflow. Constant inflow, constant filling, constant sourcing, constant dying, constant outflow to others. But I have to finish with this tonight. I've been so, and if this isn't for anybody else tonight, it's for my wife and I. God has been dealing with us on my view of being filled. I've come to realize that my view of being filled. Oh God, fill me. We sing that kind of stuff, fill me now. So my idea, this is my fault, this is me. My idea of filling came from the world and not from the scripture. It's my idea. I've come to realize that my idea of being filled comes from Thanksgiving dinner. It's my idea. Somehow I adopted this in my brain. You know Thanksgiving dinner, I'll be brief. You know Thanksgiving dinner, it's the one day of the year besides camp meeting where you can eat as much as you want. Hey, all bets are off, diets are off. We gather at this enormous table with just amazing food spread, pull up to the table. You've got this amazing selection and it is just nonstop, just amazing, unfettered, unrestricted, just get filled till you're full. We're talking sleep-inducing being filled. You know what I'm saying tonight? Filled. I want to be, so you walk away from the thing. It's immobilizing being filled. It's the kind of filled you just say, I can't eat another bite. I am full. You know what? You've been there, haven't you? I am full. So what I did unknowingly is I took that concept and I transferred it into all the other areas of my life when it comes to being filled or fulfilled. In my job or in my career in ministry, I want to be fulfilled. I want to feel good. I want it to feel satisfying. I want to feel fulfilled in my job, in my career, in my ministry. In my relationships, the relationships that I have, I want to give to me so I can be fulfilled. I want to feel satisfied. I want to feel content. I want to feel full. I go to church and I want a church that is going to, hey, worship, you know why I'm there? Hey, sermon, you know why I come? Because I want a sermon that's going to, in fact, let's take out the pews, let's put in recliners. I think that would be a good idea. Let's say, come in recliners and I can just, come on, this is, I go to church so I can, and in my spiritual life, oh God, I want to feel full. I want to feel fulfilled. I want to feel this fullness in my life. Do you know how aggravating that's been in my life? All my life. Christian life, I've kept pursuing this. I don't feel that. Why am I not feeling that? Oh, I must have to take it. I must have, it's somebody else's fault. Or I might have to, oh, you're not feeding me. You're not satisfying me. It's your fault. I must, what am I doing wrong, God? Why am I not feeling? But you know what this says? This vessel thing is not that at all. It's something completely different. Because a dispenser means not this idea of, oh, I'm going to walk around all the time feeling this, oh, I feel so good, feel so satisfied, feel so contented. It's this idea of constantly being emptied, constant outflow in my life, constantly being poured out. That's what it's being filled so you can constantly be emptied. It's kind of being sourced and the flow so it can constantly flow out. That's what he's talking about with being a dispenser. I'm going to ask our musicians to come and begin to help me close. Trina's father was he grew up in the Depression era. If you know anybody from the Depression era, greatest generation, you know that nothing is wasted, you know? You utilize everything. You never throw anything away. You make do with what you have. You get creative. You figure out how to do it by using what you have. So he's got these plants that he needs to water. He can't afford this watering system or whatever. So I got this coffee can. Now, young people, we used to have coffee in coffee cans. Cans, coffee can. Takes this coffee can, empty coffee can, Folgers, whatever, coffee can, you all can picture it in your minds, coffee can. He takes a hammer and a nail, and he just pounds holes in the coffee can. Wire handle, puts it near the plants. I guess ran a hose into it or something where there's this constant water source. And that coffee can, earthen vessel, with the holes in it, just kind of hangs there. No ability, nothing special, earthen vessel, holes in this coffee can, source in it, and this coffee can just hangs over the plants. And you know what it does? Want to be one tonight? No abilities required. No talents necessary. No special qualifications needed. But tonight our world needs his flow and his life where you live. As a matter of fact, I've been thinking, what if Camp Psyker could become one enormous Jesus dispenser into Mount Vernon? He's going to come in this place every year. What would it look like to come into this place for 10 days a year and just... You know what my one fear for camp meeting is? I'll finish. My one fear of camp meeting is that we would think, you probably don't think this, we would think it's about coming for 10 days and... And then we go home to our places and it's... Anybody want to go home from this place and... See, what kind of fullness am I going to seek in my life? What if the best kind of fullness is the kind that never... maybe feels like it, but is something that he does in my life that is so far beyond that, that is such a blessing and such a joy that I find in the dying, in the giving out, in the flow out, the flow through my life. It's never about this. But oh, Jesus, I'm available to you, and I want to know you, and I want to be the vessel of you. And could it be that there's more blessing in that, more than we can ask or imagine in anything I could ever think? And so here's what we're looking for tonight. We're getting ready to go home tomorrow. And what your world needs, I promise you this, Your world needs a dispenser, Jesus dispenser, right where you live. So this is sign-ups tonight. We're having sign-ups. And so while Ron leads us, who'd like to come to an altar tonight? No talents required, no prerequisites, no skills necessary. Oh, don't throw away training and education, but the only requirement tonight is availability. Jesus, tonight I'm willing, or I am available to my life, Jesus, and I just want you to take me back to my home tomorrow, this week, and Jesus, everywhere I go, would you just... Jesus dispenser. While Ron leads us, maybe you want to come to an altar tonight. Sign up. Maybe you want to stand up where you are and tell him. Maybe you want to raise your hand to him tonight. Would you tonight? We need you. We need a Jesus, I promise, we need a Jesus dispenser where you live, in your house, at your church, in your school, in your community, on your team. Would you come tonight while Ron leads us? Jesus dispenser.
Let's anybody? Stand together. Oh, how he loves you and me. Would you stand with me? Oh, how he loves you and me. He gave his life. What more could he give? Oh, how he loves you. Oh, how he loves me.
Available tonight.
Oh, how
just available.
He loves available. You and me.
Who's available tonight? Who's available?
Oh, how he loves you and me.
Who's available?
Oh, how he loves you and me. He gave his life. What more could he give? Oh, how he loves you. Oh, how he loves me. Oh,
we won't prolong, but we'll just sing a little bit more because we need Jesus dispensers where you live tonight. So if you're available tonight, man, he wants to work through you tonight. Let's keep singing.
Jesus to available. Calvary
just available tonight.
Did go
through me.
His love for sinners to show. What he brought hope from despair. Oh, how he loves you. Oh, how he loves me. Oh, how he loves you and me. Oh, how he loves you and me. Oh, how he loves you and me. He gave his life. What more could he give? Oh, how he loves you. Oh, how he loves me. Oh, how he loves you and me.
Jesus, what a difference it would make. You can't help but make. If everywhere we go, we dispense Jesus, that the fragrance of Christ was so imprinted upon us that the aroma of his grace and his love and his goodness, his mercy, his forgiveness, and his sacrifice, if it was so embedded in us that everywhere we went, we dispensed Jesus. In our homes, in our schools, in our jobs, in our churches, in our towns. Lord, may we go out as those who are ready and willing and enabled by the Holy Spirit to simply dispense Jesus, to share him with a world that desperately needs what Jesus alone can give. May we go as those who are being sent out to take Jesus everywhere we go, in every relationship, so there is no mistake, no ambiguity, but that we belong to Jesus, that he belongs to us, and we're sharing him with everyone, everywhere. May we go in the peace that is ours through Jesus Christ as the sent ones. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.